Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, January 16th, 2016, and this is show number 40.
The age of delusion is here. The great falling away has begun. False teachers and false gospels are everywhere. The angel of light has become so visible in today's apostate church that even false Bibles have made their way into mainstream Christianity. The Bible warns that on Judgment Day, Jesus will say to the many, "I never knew you." This program exists to make sure that when Jesus says that, not talking to you.
God Thoughts Radio's on the air. I'm Pastor Brad. This is a very special moment for me. We are celebrating the 15-year anniversary of God Thoughts in today's broadcast. Yeah, the God Thoughts ministry began all the way back January 1st, 2001. It's crazy for me to think all the way back then. It didn't even start out being a ministry. It was just simply an email to 9 family members and friends. In fact, the very first one I called Bible Thoughts. It was only after I rethought that we began to call it God Thoughts. But regardless of my journey, what's always been on my heart, the biggest part of my journey, I should say, or the biggest part of God's calling on my life, is to evangelize the church in this age of delusion in which we live. And in fact, I'm holding in my hand a framed letter that I received many years ago from a pastor, I'll just refer to him as Pastor Don, senior pastor from a church in Grinnell, Iowa. And he wrote the following little card. He said, "I'll not be able to give regularly or substantially to your ministry, Pastor Brad, but I am blessed by your articles, and I know God will bless your efforts to honor him and his word." And he sent me a $5 bill. And that $5 bill hangs along with that note in the front door of my office because I purposely want to be reminded of something multiple times a day. And what I'm reminded of is the scripture from Exodus chapter 17. And I'm going to pick up right now at verse 8. And it says this: "Amalek came and fought against Israel. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. I'll station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses told him, fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hands up that Israel prevailed. But when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until sunset, and the Israelites went on to victory." And what that reminds me of is whether we're talking about $5 or whether we're talking about prayer support or any number of things that God's people can provide for one another, that victory in ministry is dependent upon the Aarons and the Hurs to lift up Moses' hands. And I want to tell you, over the years, God has given me some very special Aarons and Hurs along the way. And I want to celebrate this moment, this 15-year anniversary celebration with them. In fact, we've got a couple of gals, Loretta and Rose. They're in prayer. Talk about partnership. Talk about teammates. They're in prayer for this broadcast right now. But our first guest is on hold. I want to introduce to you Tracy Bartlett. She is a teacher and an author and a lifelong learner, and I want to tell you, I've had the distinct pleasure and privilege to be her pastor over the last 10 years. In fact, I had the chance to baptize her in March of 2008. Tracy, it's so good to welcome you to God Thoughts Radio and our celebration tonight. How are you doing?
Hello, Pastor Brad. Are you hearing me okay?
I'm hearing you fine. You are live and
great.
On the air, and this is so much fun.
Well, congratulations,
Tracy,
on 15 years.
Oh, thank you so much. I so appreciate you joining us tonight. It means a lot to me. Hey, before we even get started, just to help the listeners to get to know you a little bit, I wanted to you were a Spanish teacher for more than 30 years, is that right?
Yes, I taught Spanish for 35 years. Mm-hmm.
And which age group did you work with?
Well, I worked with high schoolers from 9th through 12th grade, so about 13 or 14 up to 18, and all different levels and all different groups within that dynamic there.
Oh, okay, and I wanted to ask you, what was one of the things that was most rewarding for you about teaching high school students?
That's so hard. Yeah, that's hard because I really loved my career. It was a blessing, and I think it was a calling that I had very early. But I picked out two aspects. The first is the moment when a student who's been learning Spanish with me comes into the classroom excited to tell me a story of how that person somehow made a difference by using their Spanish, no matter how little, whether they're usually helping someone in a store or something like that. The excitement and the fact that they used it in the real world, that was the most satisfying moment to me, was when they took it out and actually made it work. I'm sure that's a lot like being a pastor. And the other moment was, the other thing I enjoyed doing very much was being a mentor to new teachers.
Yeah, you know, I know that what you're describing is a part of why we've been kindred spirits. We both just count it such a privilege to serve other people. And I wanted you to share, if you would, a little bit about your new ministry. You've got a couple of new ministries that you've started up over at the local senior care center. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I'd love to, and they are brand new. I have only met maybe once or twice. One of our local senior centers and a residential place asked for someone to come in and do like a worship hour or a Bible study with some of the residents. So what I've done is I visit the memory care group once a week. Obviously, these are people with challenges in terms of memory. And mm-hmm. with them, it's a worship hour, just whatever touches their heart. And the other day of the week, I go and I'm trying to get a Bible study going with a few of the ladies who live there from all different denominations, different ideas, different backgrounds. Very challenging.
Oh, that's just tremendous. Such a significant ministry to those that you serve. Tracy, I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. I as you know, my wife and daughters absolutely love animals. And we're going to hear from a dear friend, Dr. Kim, here in a little bit, who is actually an animal naturopath, and she loves animals. And I know that you are a dog lover, and so I have been, I'm canine challenged by some of the closest people in my life. And yes, that's for sure. Tracy, one of the reasons, in fact, the primary reason that I've asked you along with some others to be on the broadcast tonight is because in some way, shape, or form, and in your case in multiple ways, I mentioned dogs, but the fact of the matter is you've been such a blessing to my family, and I wanted to thank you for that. As it applies to the God Thoughts ministry, you've been such a significant contributor to the God Thoughts ministry over the years, and I just wondered if you would share with the folks what is it about the God Thoughts ministry that is significant to you, or what is it about it that makes you has felt or has you, God has used to prompt you to be such a strong supporter over the years?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for your words, because I haven't always felt like I was a tremendously the most important contributor, but I have. It is a very important thing to me. Well, God Thoughts, within the first year or two of being in your congregation, I came to know God Thoughts through the books that you put together, God Thoughts Volume 1 and 2. And along with your messages on Sundays, I read through those books multiple times. For me, the meaningfulness of that was that because they're brief and very much to the point and they have essential biblical principles and truths, I was able to really absorb the most important principles of being a Christian and able to do it so that I could then share it easily with someone else. That was very precious to me. We're just being able to have that in my head, have it with other people. And I had a lot of fun. You know, as you remember, you and I, for a while, mm-hmm. were working on lesson plans for the children's ministry based on some of your God Thoughts messages. And so I had a really good time adapting some of those to use with the K-5 children's ministry, and we had a lot of fun with that. My favorite was a story that had to do with encouragement, because you are the encouragement guy, right? And biblical encouragement is one of your, again, I know one of the principles that you live by, and in turn that the rest of us try to follow you in that. And the third thing that to me was symbolic of God Thoughts was when we were at another location, the map that I've stared at every Sunday of where God Thoughts reached, all the different places it was beginning to reach. And then as we came to the end of our time at that location, it just exploded. Through technology, through all kinds of, and through, ultimately through God's will, but we were just having an incredible, successful time with God Thoughts. And then when a crisis moment hit and God Thoughts was potentially threatened, the existence or the continuance of it, it's just that God, I don't know why God puts things in our hearts. I just know that there are, if you can help, you do. And I know that God gives us our resources as stewards, and we need to make choices to use them for the best purposes. So it's just that we couldn't let God Thoughts in any way be threatened. And so that's really the story of God Thoughts and my life.
Wow. Wow, I so appreciate that. And you indirectly mentioned something that, ironically, I wanted to make sure that our listeners understood, that it's been about 30 years now when I came across a couple of Bible verses in Proverbs that absolutely changed my life and has shaped my life and ministry forever. And that's Proverbs 3:27 through 28. It says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it's within your power to do it. Don't say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you then,' if you've got it with you today." And so from my end, this broadcast is intended to download all good that I have to some people that have been closest to me in life and ministry and have partnered with the God Thoughts ministry. And Tracy, I want to honor you because you have practiced in return the very thing that I try and live by, and that is Proverbs 3:27. You have not withheld good from the high school students that you taught Spanish to for so long, so many years. You're not withholding good from those folks at the senior care center that you're ministering to now. And because you've not withheld good from, my goodness, God Thoughts reaches, the Google Analytics tells us that we're in 155 countries, and you've not withheld good from those that God has called us to serve. And I just wanted to thank you so much publicly and say...
your words are very generous, and I appreciate it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you want to say something else?
No, I don't have anything more, unless you have a question.
Okay. No, I just wanted to say thanks, and then I'll cut you loose to listen to the rest of the program, and thanks so much for coming on God Thoughts Radio tonight, Tracy.
Thank you, Pastor Brad, for the opportunity. Goodbye.
All right. Take care. All right. I'm going to go ahead and bring on another key God Thoughts partner, a supporter, and friend. I want to introduce to you a gentleman by the name of Mark Sellens, coming to you live from the great state of Washington. He is the founder of the Internet Broadcast Company, which is a faith-based internet entertainment network. He's hosted talk shows, how-to shows, even a wilderness survival program, and most recently he's produced a pilot for women entitled A Better View. Mark, are you with us, brother?
I am. How are you doing this evening, Brett? Pastor Brad?
Hey, man, it's good to hear your voice. We try and touch base every couple of weeks or so, and we have for a long time. I was thinking back. I don't know how accurate my dates are, but we started to try and team together in ministry, I think, all the way back around 2003. Isn't that right? Wasn't that about the first time you contacted me with some ideas you had on your end?
You know, that's probably real accurate. You know, I remember reading something on a God Thoughts email, and I'm going, what the heck is this guy talking about? And I responded to the email, not thinking you would ever get back to me, but you did. And ever since then, I kind of know what you're talking about now.
I wanted to bring that out. I wanted you to get a chance to speak to this, because the reality, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but I see two realities. We have been kindred spirits, which all of those who have been some form of partner in my life have been. You've got a heart for truth. And yet, you haven't always agreed with everything that I've written or recorded. Would you speak to, even though we haven't always been in agreement, you've always been such a supporter, and maybe speak to the why of that?
Oh, you know, if anybody ever agreed with everything that I believed in, I probably wouldn't want to be around them, because that would steer me. Because I don't think that everything that I believe is necessarily true. You know, back in, you know, I'm going to answer your question in a roundabout way. Back in probably the late 80s or early 90s, I read a book by a gentleman named David Barton called The Myth of Separation. And from that point on, I found myself challenging everything I'd ever learned. I grew up in a religious school system. I went to a religious-based high school and grade school, and so I learned things that they wanted me to learn. And as my life started going on, I things didn't seem right to me. And I started reading that book and couldn't put it down. I met David Barton more than a few times, and my whole life started changing. And when I saw God Thoughts, you know, you were hitting home with, you know, where my life was going, and that starting to question everything that I've ever learned. And that's kind of how I got, you know, interested in what you were doing. You're right. We don't agree on everything. And that's okay. Again, it doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't necessarily mean you're right, but I'm hearing your opinion, and I want to respect your opinion and understand where you're coming from. And I think that's the most important thing, especially in this world we live in today, you know, trying to understand, you know, what people think. And then if they're off base a little bit, you know, discuss it with them. Let's talk about this so they can understand maybe the errors of their ways, or point something out, the error of my way. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that that we've both found such a camaraderie in is the concept that we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are, and the goal is to see as God sees. And it's been a real joy. Our relationship spans about, close to 15 years now. But there have been times when I have learned from you, and times when you have learned from me, and both of us are just trying to track with the Lord the best that we can, right?
I would say that's spot on, sure. You know, I think I've learned a lot more from you than you have from me. You know me, I'm an idea guy. I enjoy building things, coming up with better ways of doing things. But, you know, what I've always been missing is you know, the truth that's at the end of my tongue there. You know, sometimes other people understand that message so much better than I do. I like to help people, you know, realize, you know, their ambitions to reach the world. That's where somebody like me comes in. I think over the years, you've done a great job of reaching people, and we've often talked together about how do we reach more? How do we get to more people? How do we inspire them to dig into the Bible? How do we help them understand what the Bible's saying and how that relates to their lives? I think that's important.
Yes, I so agree with you, brother. And I wanted to, I don't know that I've ever said this to you directly, Mark, but it's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the broadcast tonight, because I wanted to say it to you publicly. I think you have been you've had more impact and more influence on the God Thoughts ministry than you know. First and foremost, just your personal friendship over the years, because that's a big deal to me, a real big deal. I can count my friends on pretty much one hand, and I consider you a friend. But beyond that, my goodness, the support with regard to you know, the use of your studio when you're open down in San Diego, and just the variety of ways that you have invested in the God Thoughts ministry, and I wanted to thank you publicly for that, brother. And I also wanted to find out practically, so what's the latest? Last we talked, you were thinking about, or were you getting your studio reset in up in the Seattle area, or what's the latest in terms of what you're thinking, how God is leading you?
Well, you know, that's a, well, first of all, thank you for the very kind words. In fact, I'm a little misty. Anyway.
That's right. You'll get over it. You'll get over it.
yeah, sorry about the audience there, to the audience. You know, we had to close down the studio down in San Diego. You know, just I sold my business that helped fund it back in 2012 and you know, relocating everything that we had down there, trying to relocate it up here to Seattle, Washington, where I reside now.
Okay.
And it's not an easy task. You know, I've had a lot of help from friends of mine, like Todd Fisher and Dusty Ebsen, who helped me build what we had. And we were very, you know, very honored that we could do this for God. We think we had some great shows, great guests. But it was time to shut it down in San Diego and do something different. Why? I don't know. You know, someday I'll get to ask that question to God, and maybe he'll have an answer, or maybe he won't. Doesn't matter. But, you know, we're going to try to do it again. You and I have talked about prayer, praying over this.
Right.
And is this something that could help one person's life, you know? I'd spend my fortune
right.
to be able to help save one soul. And I think you have the same heart. But yes, we're going to try to open it up again here in Seattle, and we've got some great ideas for some more shows. I need to do a better job of reaching people with it, though, the social marketing side of our show. As you know, we've had these conversations, but I'm looking forward
right.
to doing something again and something with you, as you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we both are on the same page and have the same prayer. May the Lord just continue to make our relationship and our ministries everything and only that which he originally intended for them to become, right?
You know, amen.
Yeah.
One thing I found in life, and I'm sure you get this too, Brad, and most of your listeners will, we don't know why certain people cross our paths in life. We don't know that. But when they do, you pray about it, you contemplate on it, where can this go? And sometimes it's nothing more than just, I need to be close to somebody in case they ever need me for something. And other times it's, hey, this person needs somebody now. And I think those are the types of relationships that I look forward to, I've had with you. You know, when I needed help, you were there for me. Definitely an open ear for some of my hard times, and hopefully I've been the same for you. And you and I are there for other people, and we just need to keep being there, and that's important in our ministries.
Amen and amen. That's we've got kindred spirits, we've got the same heart, and I just think of the scripture that so many know, but it's so apt. That God knows the plans he has concerning us, and they're plans for welfare, not for calamity. They give us a future and a hope, and when we seek him, we'll find him, when we search for him with all of our hearts. And we'll just continue to do that, huh, brother?
You know, amen. Just every day of our lives.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to join me for this broadcast. It means the world to me. It really does. And we'll hook up next week and keep on moving forward. Sounds good?
It sounds good, Brad. I could only ask you to do me one favor.
Yeah.
Please consider me for your 30th anniversary show. I'd be honored to be there with you. And,
all right.
And then go Seahawks.
Oh, no. You know, brother, I have the power to edit this thing. So be careful now.
Oh. Well, I only speak the
All
truth.
All right,
pal.
My friend. All right,
hey,
my friend. You
one.
Take care.
Thank you so much for for allowing me to be a part of your life.
You got it, man. And likewise. Take care.
Okay, pal.
All right. You can kind of get a taste of the kind of relationship that Mark and I have. Very open. And, wow, I want to welcome to the show right now. I don't even know how to introduce her. I'll just tell you that Dr. Kim Bloomer is a very, very dear friend of mine. She is coming to us from New Mexico. She is an animal naturopath. She's the co-founder and president of the American Council of Animal Naturopathy. She's actually the co-host of an internet radio program called Animal Talk Naturally. She's the one who got me going on our radio program. And she is also the voice, you'll recognize it, of our God Thoughts radio intro. Dr. Kim, are you with us?
You betcha, I'm with you.
I know you
I'm
are.
I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be here, Pastor Brad. I'm actually pretty humbled to be here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me just jump right into it. I know that the reason God has brought us together is we're all about Jesus and all about following him and serving him. And I wanted to share with the listeners, at least the way I remember it, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I got in my hand here, it's framed, it hangs on my wall as well. This is an encouragement note, an email that you sent me on October 2nd, 2012. And you, among other things, you said, and I quote, because I was encountering a lot of spiritual warfare for various things just associated with the call to evangelize the church in this age of delusion. You said, I'm so sorry, Pastor Brad, you're taking such a hit. But you speak the truth, and the truth is always first ridiculed, then violently opposed, and then it becomes self-evident, doing what you're doing, Pastor Brad. Do you remember that, Kim?
I absolutely do remember that, and I remember it was a quote. It's probably a quote from the 1700s or 1800s, as I like to read pastors and so forth from that era. I think his name is Arthur Schopenhauer, or Schopen something, and he's the one who said that, and I thought because of what we teach on our podcast and what we teach in the work that we do and knowing the history behind all that in this country, I know exactly from a whole, from a health perspective, what you deal with on a spiritual, in the spiritual perspective. And I could feel it in what you wrote. I could feel what you were saying. And I thought, okay, he'll probably never answer me, but I got to let him know that he's not alone. That
yeah.
I'm praying for him, and I wanted you to know that.
Yeah. Well, it literally meant the world to me. There is, as people who know me, the whole encouragement thing seems to be so important. But I find that in the Bible, I think of Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called the day, lest you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so we all need encouragement. I'm so fascinated by you, Dr. Kim, and your passion for truth. Would you talk a little bit about that? What is it about truth that you're so zealous for? Why is it such a big deal to you? How do you see it?
Because Jesus is the person of truth, and because I love him. And I didn't really, wasn't able to define that into more recent years as God has taken me through spiritual warfare. And, of course, with me, he always has to use animals because that's, I'm one of those people that was born saying dog and kitty and horse before I said mom and dad. So that's how God made me, and that's how he's taught me. But I really think it's just one of those, probably because of how I grew up, Pastor Brad, with so much, dysfunction and deception. And so I remember my grandmother saying to me, my paternal grandmother saying to me once, I could send you to the dime for a nickel candy bar and you'll bring me back the 5 cents. And it was important to me to always hold integrity for some reason, even as a child. And a lot of kids, if a grandparent sends them with 10 cents, they're going to keep that extra nickel back in the day, it just didn't feel right to me. And so I really think that when people speak the truth and don't, you know how I feel about whitewashing. It's, to me, whitewashing, even if it's 99% true, if it's 1% a lie, it's still a lie. And I like to use, I use an analogy, Pastor Brad, of, you know, if you're, you know, and it's a story that I had heard, and I love stories, and I love your latest devotional stories on the caterpillar and the butterfly. It's perfect because it's a favorite. I've loved this. And but there's a story of a father whose daughters wanted to go see a movie that was questionable, and, you know, raising them in a Christian household, he wanted them to hold that integrity. And they were like, but Dad, all the other kids are getting to go see it. And so he went in and he baked them some beautiful brownies, but he put a tad of dog poop in there, just a little bit. You would never be able to take, you would never know it was there. You would eat it.
Okay.
I mean, there's just a little bit in there. And they were all, ooh, yum. And he goes, but before you eat this, just know I put a little bit of dog poop in there.
Mm.
And so that's what the truth is for me. It, the little bit of dog poop is still tainted. You know, it's still, if it's not completely transparent and true. And, you know, as your previous guest was talking about how he's learned so much from you, well, as we, you know, we have beliefs that we hold. And when those beliefs don't connect, and they don't connect to the, if they can't prove out through God's word, then they're not true.
Yeah,
and that's what I've loved about God Thoughts, is that you're always sharing very openly. I mean, I see some of the things you share, and I went, wow, he's, boy, I'm going to be praying for him. That's serious. So I don't know what kind of heat he's going to take for that one, but I'm definitely going to be praying about that for him.
Yeah, you know, we
That's the way we are, that's the way, you know, it's not about us, right? It's his story. It's not called our story. It's called history.
Yeah. And, you know, what is so encouraging to me, Kim, about you is when we say we want to follow Jesus, we have the same meaning behind the statement, which is the Jesus of the Bible that is the Word of God, the Bible that reveals to us who Jesus is rather than the Jesus that we might want him to be or think he should be. And I think about Matthew 5:37, where Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And anything else is evil. And to use your illustration, anything else is dog poop. And even though we're having some fun with that analogy, that is the truth. And we live in a day and age, this age of delusion, where just speaking like that catches a lot of flack. And I know you encounter a lot of spiritual warfare on your end as well because of a commitment to truth. And the reality is truth divides that which is false and that which is true. I just so appreciate you. You know, I want, you know, I was just thinking about this, Kim. You have been, my goodness, you have been a resource for my health. I mean, you recently got me going on these essential oils, which is making a big difference in my life with my various ailments. I wanted to thank you for that. I mentioned at the outset, it was your radio program that birthed the idea for my radio program. I want to thank you for that.
And to
you
God
have,
be the glory, right, as always, because he's the one who brought us together. So, and
that
he's the one who gives us ideas
truth.
And everything. Everything is his. I mean, I'm learning really fast, Pastor Brad, that it's not me. It's all the ideas, the thoughts, you know, because God the Father, you know, I heard another pastor say that God the Father thought it, Jesus the Word spoke it, and the Holy Spirit does it. So where are we in that equation, you know, other than surrender?
Yeah, that reminds me of the story of Abraham and Sarah and King Abimelech. And King Abimelech had a dream, and God appeared to him in a dream and said to Abimelech, you're a dead man. And Abimelech, in reference to Sarah, said, why am I a dead man? I haven't touched her. In the integrity of my heart, I have not touched her. And God responded, yeah, that's true. But always remember, I am the one who gave you that integrity. So we're so on that same page that we have, we're to do everything we can to the glory of God, right? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But in the end, it's God who gives us the privilege to serve him.
What if every follower of Jesus did that? We'd be a far different world. What if we ate to the glory of God and drank to the glory of God? Would we be eating and drinking what we eat and drink today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, now you're getting off into, I'm so serious about this. And I know your heart is for the glory of God, but you've got your internet radio program called Animal Talk Naturally. And I'm not promoting you. I'm promoting the truth of what you share there. So I want people to know and have access to that, because it is all about God's glory. Kim, I just wanted to publicly glorify God for the relationship that God has given us. And I just wanted to thank you for being you.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. In fact, I wanted to take this time, if you would, just join with me. I just wanted to lead us in prayer at this point. Lord, as we're celebrating 15 years of a ministry that you birthed, of a ministry that you have maintained, of a ministry that is yours. And whether we're talking to Tracy or Mark, and Kim and I have such a mutual heart, it's all about whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I wanted to take the opportunity for us to pray an agreeing prayer right now, that you will continue to make the God Thoughts ministry everything that you originally intended for it to be, and to make the relationships that the God Thoughts ministry has birthed, that we've been celebrating here tonight, the same. And I ask you, Lord, to bless Kim. I ask you, Lord, to bless Mark. And I ask you, Lord, to bless Tracy. Continue to make our relationships everything and only that which you originally intended for them to become. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kim,
Amen.
Thank you so much for celebrating with me, taking a few minutes.
Thank you. It was my privilege. Thank you.
All right. All right, sister. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I put in a particular order. I wanted to save this gentleman for the last. August Silva is one of my dearest friends in the whole world. And he has been my friend and colleague in ministry since 1986, so just about 30 years. He has been, he's a philanthropist. He's one of the most generous, giving men that I've ever met. He's been working construction for 50 plus years, still going strong as a foreman there. He is a missionary to Rancho de Sus Niños. He's been down there working as a missionary for at least 20 times. I've had the privilege to team together with him on most of those trips. But, August, before I let you talk, I just want the people to know that a lot of people have come and gone, but you've been tracking with me. You have been a God Thoughts partner in prayer and resource since the very beginning, since January 2001. And I wanted to honor you, brother, and thank you for taking the time to join me on the program. Say hi to everybody,
You're
August.
Welcome. Hello. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you with us. Og, let's just, what is it about God Thoughts that God has used to prompt you to feel like you wanted to track with me all these years?
Well, in the beginning, when you were sharing about the God Thoughts, I felt what you were doing was God's will, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And I just tried my best to do what I could.
Yeah, man. And it's been quite a relationship that God has brought us into, isn't it? I share with everybody, and I want everybody to know whenever we get together, and we try and get together for breakfast once a month, other occasions as well, but pretty much at least 95% of what we talk about, always about Jesus, always about Jesus, always about Jesus. And You keep serving. You're an avid reader, and you keep serving me all this books. I try and keep up with you, but it's hard to.
And I was just curious, you read any good books lately? Anything you'd like to share? I love your stories.
Well, right now I'm reading the 100 Greatest Moments of History of the Church. So I'm kind of getting an overview of since the Acts to now of the different people who had influence in the church. And it's pretty amazing that what God's been doing all these years, and even when the church seemed like it was falling apart, God was just rebuilding. And I just, for whatever reason, I just love to read now.
Yeah, what is it? You recently gave our church library, a literal library of biographies of great saints of the past. What is it about those biographies that so attracts you? What makes them so interesting to you?
Because you're reading about people and maybe how they came to know the Lord and what they went through, how they made sacrifices, how they, even in the church, sometimes they were misunderstood, but they stayed and remained faithful. So it's an encouragement to me when I read about people's lives and what they've been through, and it just amazes me.
Yeah, you know, August, I wanted to springboard off of that because I had a very specific thing that I wanted to bring out about you because it's wonderfully unique. But it was back in about, I don't remember exactly when it was, but you and I had been on like 10, 12, 14 Mexico missions trips together. But then some dangerous things happened down in Mexico and close to the border, and people were getting very frightened. And so I was unable to go with you to join you for a couple of years there. And don't let me put words in your mouth, but it almost made you mad. It almost made you angry that people were afraid to go do God's work. And I'd love for you to just speak to that about it. What is it that was a source of frustration to you that people were fearful and stopped serving the Lord because of that fear?
But the way I looked at it, I was going to Mexico to serve the Lord, and it didn't bother me what I heard of the stuff that was going on because I just trusted God. And if something happens, it could happen here at home as well as in Mexico. I remember you when you were the youth pastor and we went to see Larry Lee in San Francisco, and we arrived
right
there late. We arrived there late, and there was a crowd of protesters out there, and we had to walk past them. And for some reason, I had no fear. It didn't bother me. I was even smiling. It was almost comfortable for me to say, you can't touch me because I have the Holy Spirit. And what I'm doing is of God, so it doesn't bother me. And in fact, when the meeting was over and we left the place, it was just filled with the smoke from the smoke grenade that the police used to disperse the crowd, but it didn't faze me one bit. I don't know why. I just, not to say I'm not afraid of anything, but just when it comes to the Lord, just do it because it can happen here at home or in Mexico. And I kind of feel that request or that, not request, but that saying where, what would the Lord find you doing when he comes back? Now, I don't want him to find me fearful. I want him to find me doing whatever it is I think he wants me to do, whether it's Mexico, San Francisco, or any other place.
Yeah, and I know that you're now leading your own groups down into Mexico with no, just because the Lord has called you to do that. And I admire that so much. A couple of verses that are coming to my mind that affirm the very thing you're saying. I think of the verse that says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. For where fear exists, you've not yet been perfected in love. And then I think of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness. And you've really modeled that for us over the years, August, and I want to really commend you for that and thank you.
In fact, that 1 year I went by myself. Nobody would go, so I went by myself.
I know.
And in fact, one year, if you remember, I got hurt at work, and I still went.
Yeah. I remember that because that reminds me that not only have you got a soft heart for God, but you've also got the world's hardest head. That was pretty amazing. You're telling that story nonchalantly, but I don't think people understand how injured you were. And it just, I'm just curious, maybe one final question, brother. You don't just have a heart for the orphans and the ministry down there in Mexico. You've got a real passion for that. Help the listeners understand what that passion is all about.
Recent years, God has blessed me with extra money, and one of the first things I said in the men's group, pray for me that I don't become a hoarder. And God has really honored that because I've given quite a bit away, and I enjoy doing it. And I think I give to over 16 organizations every month because I believe in what they do. I want to be a part of it.
Wow, that's magnificent. Yeah.
And I realized Jesus talked more about money than anything else almost, so. To me, money is a literal sign of where you're at with the Lord. And I can't speak for everybody because the Lord uses everybody in different ways. But for me, it's my pocketbook. And I always tell you jokingly, if God wants me to give more, he better give me more.
I
can't give what I don't have.
Yeah, and you know what, brother? I always knew that God was going to put you in a position like this someday because you've never changed. You were always a giver even when you had very little to give, and the fact that you have more to give now hasn't changed you at all. And August, I just wanted to I wanted to get you on this broadcast because I just wanted to let the world know what a dear friend you've been to me in this life. And I'm so grateful to you and for you. You're a Philippians 1:3 person, which says, and I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So I love you, brother. And thanks for being on the program tonight. All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon. All right, man.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. You know, this is a significant moment for me as I begin to close out the broadcast, because these people, let me put it this way. I'm big on encouragement. I hate flattery. The Bible tells me that encouragement is good, flattery is evil. So everything that you've heard me say about these people is absolutely true and absolutely my heart. And in fact, they mean more to me than I have shared, because the kind of spiritual warfare surrounding a ministry that is dedicated to evangelizing the church in the age of delusion is more significant, more intense than you could ever imagine. In fact, my heart was broken just in anticipation and preparing for this broadcast. There was another individual that I had hoped would be a part of the program. They were such a beautiful part of the God Thoughts ministry for such a long time. Of course, I'll keep it anonymous here, but I sent out a letter, and I just want to give you excerpts from it. Said that I hope this letter finds you well. I'm going to be doing a global broadcast celebrating God Thoughts the first 15 years, and I wanted to invite you to be among my guests. And God has used you in such significant ways, and I'll always be grateful, I said. So if you're interested, please let me know as soon as possible. Again, I'd love to have you join us in this grand celebration of God's love and care for the world around us. But if for any reason you're not available, please always know how much I appreciate the profound way God used you in laying the foundation for what God designed God Thoughts Global to become. Our Lord richly bless you. And the response that I got, you'll find shocking, and I am hopeful that it'll be instructive to you. The response was this: Brad,
I recently received the letter that you sent regarding your God Thought celebration. You are to have no further contact in any manner whatsoever, including mail, phone calls, personal contact, or email. Any further contact from you in any manner whatsoever will be treated as ongoing harassment and elder abuse. I trust I have made myself clear. A copy of this letter is being provided to the police, just so you understand how serious we are. And it reminds me of a letter that I received from a church a couple of years ago, also equally heartbreaking, saying that they wanted complete disassociation from me, and I quote, never mention our name in any way with any of your God Thoughts publications, emails, websites, videos, or any other type of representation. We don't want to be associated with God Thoughts in any way, shape, or form, end quote. And the point is that these otherwise beautiful folks are terrified of the God Thoughts ministry because of the truth. And the truth, the Bible says that truth is a divider. I mentioned it earlier. It divides that which is true from that which is false. And for those of you that track with me, you know that I've spoken out about the evils of what the Quran teaches, for example, and some of the evils of what Muhammad teaches. And that terrifies some folks. And it breaks my heart that it is terrifying to those who are otherwise professing Christians. And I have found that the God Thoughts ministry is incredibly polarizing. It seems that people and churches are either with me or against me. There's very little middle ground. You know, I often think to myself about what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 4:16, which says, "Do I therefore make you my enemy by telling you the truth?" You know, I've now found that what the true bride of Christ embraces, the apostate church absolutely hates. What the Church of Philadelphia applauds, the Church of Laodicea is scared to death of. What real Christians thrill to hear, professing Christians don't want to hear. And what those who know the Lord delight in, those who do not know the Lord, well, it only makes them angry. And you know, I feel led to letter of the Lord to close the broadcast celebration tonight with a word of admonition spoken out of great care and concern for you and the Bride of Christ. And you know, I realize even the last few minutes have made some uncomfortable. And yet, isn't that the way the Lord Jesus was? One of his names was the Rock of Offense. He said in Luke 7:23, "How blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." And out of great love, I want to close with this. The word is simple. Thus says the Lord, either represent or repent. You know, Jesus said that you're either with him or you're against them. There is no middle ground. Middle ground is a delusion. It's part of the age of delusion in which we live. Lukewarm Christianity is an abomination to the Lord. I hope you can hear the love in my voice, but it's true. You can serve the Jesus of your own imagination, but the Jesus of your own imagination will lead you into eternal separation from God. Again, lukewarm Christianity is an abomination to the Lord. There's no place for fear in the real bride of Christ. More than 70 times the Bible warns us not to fear. In fact, let me leave you with the words of Jesus himself from Matthew 28, which says, and I quote, Jesus says to you, my brother, my sister, my dear one, my beloved, my friend, Jesus says to you, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We need to be like Daniel, and I want to admonish you. Daniel 1:8 tells us that Daniel made up his mind to follow God, and I'm here to challenge you to do the same. The Old Testament prophet Elijah challenged the Israelites, saying, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him with a whole heart, but if he's not, then don't. But stop calling him Lord Jesus if you're not following him with a whole heart. I'm here to challenge you with the same choice that Elijah challenged the Israelites on. And finally, it was Joshua, the Old Testament warrior, Joshua, that said, choose ye this day whom you will serve, either the gods of the people around you or the gods of the New or the God of the New Testament, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You see, the gods of those around us are politically correct. They are tolerant of sin. The gods of those people around us say to the true messenger of God, don't tell us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusion. You see, the gods around us say to the true man of God, to the true woman of God, get out of my way. We don't want to hear from you. Say nothing more about the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because they would rather accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Well, I want to tell you, my friends, as for me and my house, the decision has been made. And by God's grace, we will serve the Lord regardless of the consequences of truth. Why? Out of love for people. Because I want you to experience the same freedom in Jesus Christ that I have experienced in Jesus Christ. And only the truth is going to bring about that freedom. And so I want to thank one more time. I just want to thank our special guests tonight, Tracy Bartlett, Mark Sellen, Dr. Kim Bloomer, and August Silva. And may the Lord continue to make the God Thoughts ministry everything and only that which he originally intended for it to become. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today at God Thoughts Radio. For more information about Pastor Brad and God Thoughts, go to GodThoughtsGlobal.com, where you'll also find archives from all of our past shows. Pastor Brad would love to speak at your church. You can contact him via email at GodThoughtsWired@gmail.com or connect with him on LinkedIn at Dr. Brad Righteous. Until next time, thanks for listening.